Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? If you're not, you ought to be. Because God has always has something good for us. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we have chosen, Lord, to gather ourselves together, Lord, and come, Lord, before you, Lord, learning of thy ways, Lord, because, Lord, how can we know, Lord, except we learn, Lord? How can we understand, Lord, unless we read? Lord, we pray that today, Lord, that you would help us to learn something today that we can go further in you. Pray that you bless this service, bless everything that is done today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome into this place.
In the praises of you. from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay.
Song. There it is. For you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Yes,
very
yes,
seldom
amen.
Will you ever amen. Find a song with all the elements of salvation in
thank
there.
You, Jesus.
Okay,
thank
let's
Jesus.
Sing. This is my Savior's love for me.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. I hope that He's given us at least something today that can help you. Because if I'm not edifying the church, then I have no need to be up here. But anyway, turn to our, get our Bibles out and turn to Hebrews 12. We're going to be in reading in verse 5 of Hebrews 12 through verse 11. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we give them reference, and shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened as after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to be in the Word, and Lord, not be in the flesh, Lord, but be in the Spirit, Lord, as I teach this Word today, Lord, that I might help somebody, encourage somebody to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Chastising. Nobody likes that. I don't. Maybe I remember someone coming up at one time, maybe saying, you know, when they come up for prayer, maybe they should do that. Say, I'm being chastised of the Lord. Would you help me to understand what he wants me to do? Because I wonder how many times that's what's going on. And many times, maybe that's the reason we don't get our healing. Maybe God's saying, hey, get something done that I want you to get done, and then I'll remove what I'm doing. And I know we say that all we have to do is ask, and God will provide. Amen. I believe that. But a lot of times, God is meaning, ask for the spiritual things. Amen. Why? What did he say? He said, I know already what you have need of before you even ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I believe that God wants to move today. But I believe God wants us to move too. Move into a place, amen, where maybe he can do that in our midst. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If God started healing, we had a healing service in here, and actually it was enough to where everybody noticed, you would see a flame come out of the top of this building, all Sandwich would see. And that's what we need. But our lesson today says faithful in correction. And I think that's where we fall short. I remember many, many, many years back, a young man, he was a novice. He wasn't skilled in God's word, and when he wanted something from God, he asked him for it. He didn't get it, and he got mad. He got upset. He got offended with God. He said, "I did my part, and God hasn't done His." And he walked away. You know, the Bible says it's harder for a rich man to enter into God. It's hard for a rich man. It's either for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Why? Why is that so? Because he can't humble himself. Riches causes us to be proud and even arrogant in our ways, and that will never move God. But we have biblical instructions. If we pray the Bible, and I've heard this, I found to be, if we pray the Bible, God moves. If we're in the place that we're praying and we're actually obeying that, God moves. He has to. But I looked into some things today, and I went back into the Lord's Supper. How instructions has to be a part of what we do. And the instructions that we get are in the Bible. We find them there. We find in Psalms 119 and 11. Now here's your secret, amen, to move God. It says, let thy word be hid in my heart that I sin not against thee. Now we know that David was a man after God's own heart. We also know that David sinned. When did David sin? When he got all of his riches put together. When he didn't go out into battle anymore. He stopped the battle. So then he got stagnated. You know, it's a pool that is stagnated. It don't go anywhere. It just collects mosquitoes and algae and all this other nasty stuff that you want to stay away from. And he began to just drift. And if David can fall into sin doing those type of things, you think you can't? Amen. We've got to stay in the Word of God. If what we decide in our own minds, if it don't line up with the Word of God, then it don't add up. It's not going to work. Because our things that we have up here, our wisdom, is not good enough. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and we have the perfect Word of God. But I went back to the Lord's Supper, and in just reading toward the end of that, it said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 30, for this cause many are sick among you, and many sleep. What were they doing? They was doing something the wrong way. They were having the Lord's Supper. They were just having a party. And the only one that could really get involved in the parties was one that had much, because they would bring a lot and they would just party. But the poor was left out because they had nothing to bring. So it couldn't have been right. It couldn't have been God's plan, because he included all. So some instructions need to be taken here. Something needs to be done differently, because that wasn't the way it had been was to be done. Amen. What did Jesus say? He gave them bread. This is my body. He gave them grape juice or wine. He said wine, and said, this is my blood. And they were to do that discerning the body of Christ. So they had to make that in a way, not only that the rich had to come and party with all their luxuries, all they have, but it had to be good enough for the poor to be able to come too, and everybody be the same. So they had to be changed. He said in verse 11 and 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen. What are you doing this for? What is this all about? What's it about? What are you doing? If you're doing it unto Christ, discerning his body, amen, then you wouldn't become eating and drinking. Amen. You can do that at home. But you'll come, amen, with fruits worthy of the cause. Amen. So they would bring, amen, just what little they had, just a little bit that the poor could come in and not feel left out. Now, back when I went to school, they didn't know how to do some things, and they would treat people that had much, they would treat them much better than they would the poor kids. I mean, I know, because I was a poor kid. And a lot of times when they would have things, that even Valentine parties and things like that, amen, the kids that had more, well, they could bring more. Amen. They had better Valentine things to give out. They had all these better. And the poor felt left out. Well, that's how it was then when they was having the Lord's Supper. The poor felt left out. Amen. But we found out that it's the poor that turns out to be the one that serves God. Better than the rich, because they have all of their riches, all their resources in the way. Amen. But I know that we can do things in an unworthy manner. And the world has gotten to today, the church is following the world instead of the world following the church. They're doing things in an unworthy manner. Now, we take a lot of persecution, especially the women. I think the men need to come up a notch. That's just me. But, you know, they do this thing that people notice them. Did you know the women are the light of the church? It looks pitiful when you see a woman walking down the street all holy and the man walking beside her can't tell him any different from the world. I guess I better get off that pastoral stuff. Anyway, that's me. All right. But anyway, in an unworthy manner. That's what happened in the Lord's Supper. Amen. They do things in an unworthy manner. What was unworthy about it? It was not according to God's word. See, you have to get in there and search. Well, how come it was an unworthy manner? Well, first off, the poor couldn't participate. Amen. You didn't do it discerning the body of Christ. You come in partying. You wanted to party. You wanted to eat. You wanted to drink. It was an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God chastens us. But you know, I don't know. It's hard to find out if God chastening me or I'm just sick. You know, a lot of times, I mean, you get somebody runs over you. I don't think God did that. But God does chasten us, and he does it for a purpose. Amen, that we might not be condemned with the world. We know that David, how that he had sinned, and what was the last thing that he told David. I'm not going to get to David, so I'm going to get it right now. You might have to jump ahead there, brother, but 2 Samuel 12:14. Now we know David's sin with Bathsheba. We know that David had gotten stagnated, that he was just sitting in the castle, amen, watching everything go by. And that's what happens to us when we get in a place, amen, that we're drifting or we're in stagnation, amen, you know, the first thing we start doing, amen, we start looking around and we start coming up with our own ideals, our own plans, because, well, you're not getting into the Word of God, so you have a mind, you're going to think. That's the reason that we have to read the Word of God, and we must read the Word of God, or else you cannot be in God's will. 2 Samuel 12:14 says, howbeit because of this deed that thou hast given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You know, most of the sinners out there, they probably don't know two things about God, but one thing they do know, that they know David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, they know all about that, and they'll throw that at you quicker than anything. Well, you know, the sword never left David's house. Amen. Three of his sons died after that. Four, counting Bathsheba, the baby he had with her. Amen. Judgment came to David's house. Many times they say something like, for there, you know, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That has nothing to do with your walk. That has something to do with no condemnation, because Jesus came and fulfilled the ceremonial laws, and he died for the sins, capital S, the sin that Adam and Eve brought from the garden into us as a curse. When Jesus Christ came, we take on Jesus Christ. Now there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That has nothing to do with your walk. Your walk comes after that. But they'll always use that. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Well, certainly not if you're in him. I'm not preaching salvation here this morning. I'm teaching what God wants us to do after we're saved. There's a walk to be done after we're saved. Our focus thought says, if we remain faithful to God in difficult times of trials and correction, As a result, God will bring the spiritual perfection we need into our lives and make us righteous. That don't get preached in that way so much anymore. You know why? Because people are still babes in Christ. They can't take it. The way some of the things that used to be preached, I was under Brother Peterman, and he held back nothing. He held back nothing. The only thing I had against him, I felt lost every time I left the church. Amen. But one thing it did, it challenged me. I said, I've got to look into this thing. How can I be more lost serving God than I was when I wasn't? Amen. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't have that law over me. Amen. Now there's therefore no condemnation. That ceremonial law, what it couldn't do, Jesus Christ did. Now there's no for, therefore there's no condemnation. All right, I'm in. I'm in the boat. Now I need to help pedal. Amen. But that's the things that we get into in teachings. The first thing the novice will do, or someone that's not in church, first thing they'll think of, he's telling me I'm not saved. I'm not telling anybody they're not saved. But through chastisement, amen, we learn obedience. Now, I was in a church at one time. I don't talk about them, but it was caught up in a lot of gossip. You say, well, why didn't God just stop that gossip? You know what? He let us run his course. Now we all know what gossip can do. Amen. We know it's no good. It needs to be nipped in the bud. Amen. We learned that. How? Through chastisement. By the time that mess got all straightened out, it never did get straightened out totally, but it did a lot of damage. And it did a lot of damage and not one iota of good. Not a bit. But we find in the book of Hebrew here, you had this book of Hebrews to the Jew. Amen. And what was happening here, when they wrote this book, a lot of the Jews was kind of wanting to go into all winds of doctrine. They wanted to mix Judaism with Christ. And it can't be done. So some was deciding, well, I'm just going to go back to Judaism. And there's a lot of things that was said to them about what would happen, because they trod underfoot the Son of God, calling the blood of God an unholy thing. I know I'm not going to finish this today, but that's all right. But we can't move to all winds of doctrine. Amen. We can see people with zeal of God. Paul said he recognized the zeal of God in the Pharisees and the scribes. They had zeal, but not according to knowledge. Amen. You can have zeal. You can believe in God. You think those Pharisees didn't believe in God? They wasn't atheists. They just didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And for that cause, they was lost. You don't have to be an atheist to be lost. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, amen, then you're lost. When we get to the point where we're not growing according to God's word, then you're not growing at all. The only way that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And people that they'll take one little thing and they want to make a doctrine on that. Now there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is scripture, and that's the truth. But put it where it belongs. Amen. It don't give you no excuse to sin. Amen. We're in a constant battle all the time, as it was in the book of Hebrew. They was in a constant battle trying to keep their people from walking away, from leaving the church, if you will. Amen. Do we not fight the same battle? It's the same battle. What do they want to do? They want to go back out where they was. And amen. Well, are they lost when they do that? That's between them and God. I don't pass judgment on anybody. You say you're saved, that's fine with me. Now I'm going to tell you what you got to do. I'm going to tell you what the Bible tells you got to do. We're supposed to get this word hid in our heart. Amen. Then we just not to despise chastising. In Proverbs 15 and 5. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. I looked up some of the definition of prudent, and one, it says, always prudent to read a contract carefully before signing it. Careful in practical matters. See, you know, I trust God for my salvation. Because I have no condemnation in me. Because you know why? I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. But the book didn't stop there. Now he says he wants to go on into perfection. Amen. And to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And they'll even use that wrong. I said, the Bible says for me to work out my own. He said to do it in fear and trembling. And if you're going to do it in fear and trembling, you know what you're going to do? You're going to seek. You're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. Now, I sat in church for several years before I ever really started reading and studying the Bible. I heard all kinds of messages, and it still never got me up that high. But when I started reading and studying the Word of God, that made all the difference in the world. And if we want God to move, amen, just like it was in the back at the Lord's Supper. You want any move of God? Get in His way. Get in His plan. Do it His way. That's the only way that it can be done. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know that scourges, I might not pronounce it right, but I think that's the right meaning. And that is to punish severely. But you know what's worse than getting punished by God is not getting punished by God. Amen. But God is good. Now, we have our earthly fathers. They teach us how to do things in this life, don't they? Or they should. Some don't, but that's man. But we have a heavenly Father that does it perfect. And we should go to His Word right here to find out what He wants. But everybody wants a special word from God. Well, when, like my old Trinity pastor said, well, when I see it in the Bible, but when God shows me, I'll do it. Well, He just showed him. And is it important to obey God's instructions? Well, we're not going to grow without it. And He'll keep us from a lot of problems that's going to rise up. They're going to rise up, you can be sure of it. But the Heavenly Father reprove and rebuke us for the things we are engaged in which are contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Man, I read a little story while I was looking at this, and it talked about a group of kids. They were playing ball, and there was a road nearby. You got up a hard hitter up there that could make that ball fly, and he hit that ball. And two kids run out after that ball. And when they come to the road, one got run over and got killed. And the other one, he didn't get run over. He stopped. Now, probably, his father taught him as he was being brought up, when you cross a road, stop and look both ways. Now, the other kid, You don't know. He's dead. But did his father teach him that? Or did he not? Or did his father teach him that and he just didn't pay any attention to it? Either way, got him killed. So we have to obey God's word. Amen. We have to look for the things in the word of God, that God, how he wants us to do things. Because after all, he said, offer your bodies up a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. He said, do that. And he said also, after that, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I know the biggest thing that I had when I come into the Lord was messages that, I don't know if they meant them that way or I just took them that way, that always made me feel like I was lost. And that's just as bad as the other end is. We've got to kind of find out. You've got to encourage people. And without that, there are other problems. But as it was happening in the Hebrew church, yeah, I think people helped me out as much out there as they did up here. Amen. A lot of the fellowship that I had with Christians that really, really helped me. See, up here, you get maybe hour, 30 minutes or so or something like that. But out there, you're walking. And people can help us. I know people who said, I don't need to go to church. I can serve God on my own. Well, they don't know how. They don't know how to serve. Maybe they know how to get saved. Maybe they got them that far, but they don't know how to serve. Only way you're going to know how to serve is get into the Word of God. But the Hebrew writer, you can almost feel his frustration and his struggle to fight against unbelief. See, that's what gets you lost is unbelief. Some, well, you'll make it up your own. Now, we're thinkers, you know, and we can kind of use our own wisdom in a lot of ways. But when it comes to God's ways, we've got to go His way, His wisdom, because His ways are higher than our ways, even as the heavens are from the earth. But I'm sure our pastor here can relate to it. I'm sure that there's probably not been too many days he hasn't said to himself, Lord, what can I do to encourage people? What can I do to keep them? That ever cross your mind? It even crosses mine. When I come in, I look around and someone's not here and the message is preached, I say, man, that person really needed that. Because I know it helped me. But here, maybe this was what the Hebrew children were having trouble with. He says, Hebrews 10 and 25. Says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's what I just said. Some of my best encouragement comes from out here. Exhorting one another. And so much more as you see that day approaching. He was reminding them, amen, where they needed to be, where they needed to get their help from. And I'm sure it was here. If you want help from God, get it. Amen. All you got to do is read it and study it. People say, well, I don't have nothing to do. You know, I retired and I can't get through the day, all the stuff I got to do, because I put this in. If you want to sharpen your mind up, try to find God. His ways are higher than our ways, even as the heavens are. But look, see if you can find him. Seek for him. Hunger after him. He was trying to tell the Hebrew children, said, here's what you've got left if you don't have Christ. In Hebrews 10 and 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, when I first heard this, you know what I thought sin was? What sin? Well, something I did in my flesh. something that I would do that would cause me to lose out here. But what that sin means, that's unbelief. That's the sin. You've got to get that sin corrected before you can get anything else. You have to take care of that sin. The sin that Adam brought in. The sin that put us all in this place. But you receive the knowledge of truth, he's telling the Hebrew children. Remember, they were Judaism. They're going back. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I checked these two sins out. One of them is the capital sin. And this one is too, but it's the unredeemed sin. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing. Here's what you got left, Hebrews 10 and 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment. That's what you got left is judgment. And a fiery indignation which devoured the adversaries. Unbelief brings judgment. Hebrews 10 and 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That was their unbelief. Verse 29. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. When they walked away, they were Jews. They made up their mind this was not the Messiah. I think they were just testing the waters. We got to believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We got to believe in our heart that he died for our sin. Amen. Then you come in and then you walk in newness of life. But you got to get that sin question taken care of. You got to get that Adamic nature that came into the world. You've got to get that taken care of. And then you begin to walk in newness of life. And then we work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. These were Jews. Was they ever saved? He said, was they ever saved to begin with? I don't know. I don't tell them where they was or not either. They know and God knows. But I know what we are to do. We are to follow the Bible according to the way it's written down. And many times, I don't mean to pass judgment on the Trinity, but I got one message for them. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, name the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what I got for them. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says it. I believe it. I choose to believe it. I'll take what the Bible says over what anybody says. Let the word of God be the truth. Every man a liar. And if you're not studying his word, you know what? You're forming your own opinions. You know, you can let circumstances make you bitter or better. Exactly. I had a brother once, and he was a novice. And he didn't know. He didn't know much. Well, he sinned. He said, that's it. I might as well throw in the towel. I'm done. Well, that's a lie, too. Get in the boat. And you get in the boat, amen, by taking care of that Adamic nature, amen, that caused us this problem that we have today. And then, you know, the people want to make the word of God into a lie. All you got to do is read Romans chapter 1 and see where that'll get you. God's judgment will come. We have to go according to the word of God, not make it into a lie, because if we do, it brings chastisement. You know, there's a lot of things I think is common sense. I said, it makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. But if it don't go according to the word of God, it don't make righteousness. It might make sense, but it don't make righteousness. The Pharisees, they had a zeal of God. But they didn't have the truth in God. Hebrews 12 and 10 says he chastened us for, let me read chapter, no, I'm going to go ahead and read this. All right, he says here, says he chastened us for our profit, talking about the earthly father. Said that we may be he chastened us for our profit that we may be partakers of his holiness. I don't have that written part. That's the reason I didn't get it all. But anyway, but he does it for what? For our holiness. Amen. We're already saved. He ain't telling you, I'm chastising you to save you. He said, I'm chastising you that you can be partakers of my holiness. And they want to take all of that away. You know what? All they want today is the gospel. You know, being that way has brought us into the problem that we're in today. The world like it is today. Well, they're all saved. Just ask them. They want just the gospel. They want the good news. They don't want any other news. But God's got news. It ain't fake news either. Amen. It's the truth. And we've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. 1 Peter 3 and 14. I'm skipping a lot because I pretty much covered it as I went along. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The ladies, they're the light of the church. I salute you, but with the right hand. Amen. God is good, and God, he has a way for us to go. But it's according to his word. And Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's tempting to go by the way of the world. Just say, well, Jesus got it all. But God wants us, he has a plan for us too. He has a plan for us to partake of his holiness. Amen. It's not, serving God is, it's not easy. It is if you understand that you've got to just come out of your flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when I got saved, God filled me with the Holy Ghost, but he didn't take this fella away. He's still here, dragging me down. And all through the Bible, it's telling us how to defeat that old man. The Bible says the flesh is the enemy of God. He's enmity. His flesh is the enemy of God. So maybe when he put this chastising into place right in the middle of their difficulty, nobody ever moves if everything's going perfect. Back when this country used to be its poorest, the church was its richest. But God is with us. God will help us. But he wants us to make an effort. And according to the Bible, if you don't, chastisement will come. Maybe we go right over the same things all the time. One chastisement, same, don't never get past it. Well, ask God, say, Lord, are you trying to show me something? If you look in the Word of God, I guarantee you he'll show you something. Because that's where I found my strength. That's where I found out that it was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That opened up things. Hebrews 12 and 2 in closing. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Can you imagine that joy? Sometimes joy is not always pleasant. We look for joy. We want to come to church with a big smile on our face all the time and everything going good. But sometimes that's not the way it's going to be. And when they teach people that, and then when things get rough, like the man I talked about started the service, but he was a novice. He hadn't stuck around long enough. Amen. He was the one that the seed was planted upon stony ground. You know, he popped up real quick, but he didn't get any root. And then when the word came, by and by, he was offended. Most people don't just get offended at us. They get offended at this. They don't want to hear it. They want life to be joyous and in a fleshly kind of way. James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. I believe that if I believe I'm saved, I believe everybody before me is out front. I'm just the way I do. But I know I got a long ways to go yet. This old flesh is still a drag on me. Amen, and always will be. Amen, that's all I have today. So, amen, if you, at the rest of the service, the rest of this part, amen, if you need to go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom and pray. Pray is more important, but if you got to go, go. But pray, amen, for the rest of the service. Thank you. Lord bless you.